I'll tell you, Valerie had mentioned earlier about pre-service. It was good. It was good. And I'm not going to keep you too much longer, but I do want to share a little something with you tonight. Some of you who know me know that since my husband passed away 10 years ago, the Lord has instructed me to get away with him once a quarter. So when I did it the first time, it was because I had a lot of questions. I had known Jesus for a long time, and I knew him as my friend. I knew him as my Savior, as my deliverer, a lot of things. But I didn't quite know how to make him my husband. And I'm like, I've got questions, God. What do I keep doing? What do I stop doing? And so he instructed me once a quarter, I want you to just come away with me. So this trip, which was a couple of weeks ago, was my 40th getaway with God. And sometimes it's just one night. And I tried to have it be a tuck away at home. It doesn't work. Because people call me, or my house calls me, or something calls me. And so I found that I need to actually leave my house to do this. And so this trip, I went to Letchworth, and that's a place I go quite often because it's beautiful, and it's 45 minutes away, so I don't like to spend my whole time traveling. And so that's where I went just a couple of weeks ago. And the last day that I was away with the Lord, I went to a special place in the park. I had spent a lot of time praying and reading and studying, and I had lunch at the Glen Iris Inn, and I just was enjoying myself. But then I needed just a place to be quiet. And so I found they've got a nature center now, and they have this little cordoned off area that's a butterfly garden. And although the park itself was packed with people, there was no one there. And so I found a little bench, and I just got quiet. And I said, Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And so I just closed my eyes and sat quietly. I don't know about you, it's not always easy to get quiet inside. But I pursued that, and I did get quiet, and all of a sudden I became aware of all the sounds around me. Beautiful bird songs, the wind rustling in the treetops, and I was aware of all of these sounds that we hear that are present all the time, every day, but we get too busy to hear it. And so the Lord said to me, do you hear all of creation around you? That's my voice to you right now. That's my voice. And I had, usually on these getaways, I go with questions. And this trip was no different than the others. I had some questions about several different things. And it is not my habit to ask for signs from God, but I did it this time. And I said, Lord, I have a very specific question. Would you give me a sign? Would you give me a sign that you're hearing me and that you're going to answer this question? And I asked, the sign that I asked for was that I would see an unusual bird. And so I thought, well, you got to open your eyes, Lisa, if you're going to see an unusual bird. So I was still quiet, but I was looking and looking. And there was a chickadee, but that's not unusual. And then there was a little sparrow, but that's not unusual. And there was a house finch, but that's, I see a lot of them. And I'm like, well, okay. I'm not seeing anything unusual. And then I was ready to go back into just peaceful listening. And the Lord said, get up and go now. And he said it in such a way that I didn't even quite, I just got up and went. And I'm heading out of the park in my car, and I'm heading out, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, on the passenger side of my car, I see this something. And I look, and it is an eagle. And it is an eagle that was on the ground and that started flying, soaring next to my car. That was unusual. It had a wingspan of probably 6 to 8 feet, and it was flying evenly with my car window. And I'm just crying and trying to stay on the road because here's a sign of an unusual bird. They're not low ground flyers. But there it was following. If I'd been on the passenger side, I could have touched it. And I was blown away and amazed at the goodness of God. So as I got out of the park, I'm on 390 heading home, and all of a sudden, I look up, and like a painting in the sky is a cloud that's shaped like an eagle with its wings spread. It was like a picture, and I almost actually drove off the road because I'm looking at this, and I'm weeping again at the goodness of God. That he would make a cloud formation that looked like a giant eagle. And I'm just like, Lord, you're so good. You are so good. And I drove a few more miles, and all of a sudden, there's another eagle, a real one, circling and soaring where they usually are, above my car. And I'm like, okay, you have my attention. What do you want to say to me about eagles? And I know that each of the Gospels is depicted by a certain figure, and the eagle is for the Gospel of John. So I thought, okay, number one, I'm going to study the Gospel of John. And then this was on Saturday. And on Tuesday morning, a friend of mine sent me a scripture in Isaiah 40. And that evening, another friend sent me the same scripture. And I'm like, okay, we're going to talk about eagles. So let me read Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 27. Why, O Jacob, do you say and declare, O Israel, my way and my lot are hidden from the Lord, and my right is passed over without regard from my God? Did you ever feel that way? God, do you see me? Do you even know I'm here? It says, Jacob, why are you saying this? My way and my lot are hidden from the Lord. Well, I couldn't say that after my experience. However I was feeling and whatever I was thinking, I couldn't say, God, my way is hidden from you, because I asked for a sign of a bird and I got times three. And it goes on to say, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint and to the weary. And to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. Even youth shall faint and grow weary. And young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect and look for and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and their power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God, as eagles mount up to the sun. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint or become tired. So verse 27 is people saying, God, you have no regard for me. You don't know what I'm going through. I'm not sure you even know me. And then in verse 28 it says, but God is never weary. And so that lament and God linking it to being weary is not a coincidence. Believing verse 27 that God doesn't see us or know us causes us to be weary. In verse 29, we get God's answer and his part. In verse 30, he says, everyone gets weary, but here's what I'm going to do for you. The solution to weariness is waiting on God. How many of you love waiting? No hands are raised, just for those of you online, so you know, nobody has raised their hand to that question. We don't like to wait. And does it even make sense to us that the solution for weariness is waiting? But I've got some definitions that might help us. First of all, weary. Weary means having your patience exhausted. Okay. Young mothers in the house understands how your patience can be exhausted. How many times have I told you, fill in the blank? Or even if you don't say it, you probably think it. Yeah. Secondly, it means having your strength exhausted. And thirdly, it means your mind yielding to discouragement. When we get weary, our mind takes over quite often. And there's a difference between physical weariness. We all get weary if we exercise or clean your house or you work in the yard all day. And emotional weariness. That you're just weary. You're tired. And you're like, God, I need something from you to be able to go on. And so God's solution is to wait, which means not just sitting back and twiddling your thumbs and saying, I guess I'll have to wait. It means to stay or rest in expectation. To stop or remain stationary until the arrival of some person or event. To rest in expectations and patience. To stay and not depart. There's an example of this illustrated in the New Testament in the book of Acts. Jesus had said to the disciples, I'm going to send you the promise, the power of the Holy Spirit. But in order for that to come, you've got to wait. You've got to wait. And so they went to wherever they went, the upper room, to wait. But they weren't just waiting, like saying, okay, here we are. They carried on some business, number one, but they also had an expectation. Because Jesus has said, if you wait, this will happen. They had an expectation that something was going to come of their waiting. And we know it did. That the Holy Spirit fell on them. So why don't we wait? And what makes it so hard for us to wait? First of all, I think fear and anxiety. We get afraid. Yes, God, I know you said wait for this, but it's not happening because I don't think you see me or know what's going on, and I'm afraid, and I become anxious, and I don't like waiting because nothing's happening in the wait. Well, nothing may be happening that we can see, but something is always happening in the kingdom of God. Always happening. You know the song we sing, Waymaker? Even when I don't see it, you're moving. Even when I don't feel it, He is always moving. He is always doing something. And we get afraid because we can't see it or feel it in the moment that He's not moving, but He is. And so we get fearful. And in Philippians, it said, be anxious for nothing. Nothing means nothing. That's an easy translation. It means nothing. There's no reason for you to be anxious. But instead, pray. Pray. We also become unwilling to wait because of a spirit of control. Well, if I don't do it, I don't know who will. We think we need to help God fix situations, fix people. We need to do something. God, you're not moving quite fast enough, so I'm pretty sure this is a sign for me to step in and take over. Usually not. On a rare occasion, the Lord will have us do something, but usually it's, I'm not weary. I'm not weary. I'm moving. I'm doing something. You don't have to take control here. I love the story where it talks about Sarah being handed over by her husband. And it says, you know, in a situation, but it says she didn't get hysterical. Is it in Peter, I think? She didn't get hysterical, but she trusted God that He would move on her husband's heart. It's hard sometimes to not try and take control of things. But control is counteracted by trust. God, you see, you do see. And we don't trust Him when we think He doesn't see us. He doesn't know what's going on. We can't wait sometimes just because we're impatient. We're impatient people. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been in the supermarket in front of or behind someone that's tapping their foot because the line's not moving fast enough, right? People don't like to wait. They're impatient. They want to think, come on, we live in a microwave generation. We don't want to wait. Part of it is culture, our culture right now. We want things right now, quick, right? We don't want to wait for anything. And we need to allow the Lord to develop the gifts of the Spirit in us so that we can be patient. And we need to fall out of agreement with whatever our culture says we need to do and how we act. I mean, you all know the story of me being run off the road and road rage that is just another version of what I'm not waiting for anyone. And if it means me knocking your car off the road so I can be two car lengths ahead, I'm going to do that. That's the thinking of our culture right now. And we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And if we find those things rising up within us, we have to say, Lord, I'm not in agreement with that. I will not be like that. I may be waiting in this line because there's a divine appointment. I may be waiting here. I may be caught in traffic because somewhere down the road is an accident. I have given up being upset about my life being delayed. Because I trust that if my life is delayed in some way, it is because God is protecting me. That there's a reason why my life is delayed. And now I am going to bombard you with a bunch of scripture. So get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. Psalm 25, verse 5. It says, "Guide me in your truth and faithfulness and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you and you only and altogether do I wait expectantly all the day long." You and you only. Where's our expectation? You and you only I wait for all the day long. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? That's counteracting verse 27 in Isaiah. I believe that I am going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And in verse 14, it says, "Wait and hope for, expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring." It's not very modern language, but I like the sound of it. Be stout-hearted. Yes, wait and hope for and expect the Lord in your waiting. 33, verse 20. Oh, I like this one. Our inner selves wait earnestly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. There's something about finding peace in your inner self. Our inner selves. For in him does our heart rejoice, because we have trusted, relied on, and been confident in his holy name. Now listen to this. Let your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us in proportion to our waiting and hoping for you. Let me read that again. Let your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us in proportion to our waiting and hoping for you. The degree that we're willing to wait and hope for God will be the fruit of his mercy and loving kindness. We will see it in proportion to, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I am not going to take things into my own hands. I am going to be patient and wait on you and not think that you are sleeping, taking a nap, or are weary. And in proportion to that waiting will be the fruit, mercy and loving kindness from the Lord. Psalm 37. In verse 7. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. That picture is, have you ever needed to just lean on somebody to kind of make it through? God says, it says here, I'm going to lean on you, God. He expects that sometimes we are going to be weary and we need to lean on someone. And sometimes it's him spiritually, and sometimes he will give us someone in our lives to lean on when we grow weary. Be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself upon him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. That tends only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait and hope and look for the Lord, in the end, they will inherit the earth. So what if somebody's done you wrong? Are you ever tempted to step in and take things into your... I'd like to give them a piece of my mind. why, God, when I am faithful to you, and so-and-so is living not righteously, are they being blessed and I am not? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil doing. But it says evildoers are going to be cut off. But those who wait and hope and look for the end, the Lord, in the end of things, you will inherit the earth. It's quite an inheritance. In the same chapter in verse 34, it says, wait for and expect the Lord and keep and heed his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. In the end, when the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Wait for me. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't try and work out justice for yourself. Be still. You know, when Jesus was being accused before the magistrates, he never opened his mouth. He was still. But he saw the end, that the evil would be taken care of. We are guaranteed that. Psalm 52. Not much more. Verse 9, I will thank you and confide in you forever because you have done it, delivered me and kept me safe. I will wait on, hope in, and expect in your name, for it is good in the presence of your saints, your kind and pious ones. Psalm 130. Verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. I expectantly wait, and in his word do I hope. I am looking and waiting for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. I say more than the watchman for the morning. In our waiting, are you watching? Are you looking? Are you listening for the voice of God, for the presence of God? I'm going to be like the watchman on the wall, looking out on the horizon, expecting, God, you are going to do what you've said you will do in my life. And I will wait for you. Let's look at Isaiah 30. We're almost done. Listen to this. Isaiah 30, verse 18. So we're exhorted to wait and watch. But it says, and therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. Wow. He's looking for you. He's waiting for you. Because he wants to be gracious to you. I'm going to read that part again. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. He's looking and waiting for you. And he's asking us to look and wait for him. And the fruit of that is victory, favor, love, peace, joy, unmatchless, unbroken companionship. that we would know that he sees us, that he's with us, that he loves us, that he cares about us. Back in Isaiah 40, in verse 31, it says, "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and their power." Renew means to sign up again. Lord, I don't want to take things into my hands anymore. I'm going to renew my trust in you. I'm going to do it your way, not my way. I want to be lifted up. And he uses eagles because they go up. They soar. They're noted for their strength, for the keenness of their sight, for the power of their flying. They can go as high as 10,000 feet, soaring, and they have a crushing grip. Soar means to rise up in the air in a great height, to lift your wings and mount up close to God. It says also that he, when we read Isaiah 30, that he lifts himself up. He lifts himself up, and we go up on wings where he is. Height gives us perspective. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We tower in thoughts and imaginations. My husband was a nature lover, and I learned many, many things from him. And I used to ask him about different birds. He was a bird lover, and he used to tell me how you can tell a duck from other kinds of birds. Ducks are hysterical flappers. They flap, 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 flap. That's us. That's us when we're trying to do what only God can do, and we won't wait for him. But he wants to take us above all of it so we can spread our wings and we can soar. Eagles don't flap, 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 flap their wings. They catch the wind. They catch the Holy Spirit. And they soar above. Micah 7:7 says, "But as for me, I will look to the Lord and be confident in him. I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectation for the God of my salvation, because I know my God will hear me." He's heard you. He knows you. He's asking you to trust him because he wants to give you strength. He doesn't want us to be weary. He wants us to stop trying to do it ourselves and wait for him. Do you have a song?
I have sung this little lullaby over there, my kids, for years. And I just sense that the Lord wanted to sing this over us all tonight. May you grow tonight in grace and peace. Let the favor of the Lord rest on you. Rest on you. May you grow tonight in grace and peace. Let the favor of the Lord rest on you. rest on you. May you grow like Jesus in wisdom and stature in the sight of God and man. Let his heart turn his face toward you and be gracious, and be gracious. May the Lord God shine his face on you and be gracious, and be gracious. May you grow tonight in grace and peace, let the favor of the Lord rest on you, rest on you. You grow tonight in grace and peace, let the favor of the Lord rest on you, rest on you. May you grow like Jesus in wisdom and stature in the sight of God and man. May the Lord God shine his face on you and be gracious, and be gracious. May the Lord God turn his face toward you and be gracious, and be gracious.
Tonight, Lord, we renew our souls in you, Lord God. We thank you that you will give us strength and power. We're signing up again, Lord, and we're going to do it your way. But as for me, I will look to the Lord and be confident in him. I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and with expectation for the God of my salvation. And I know, Lord God, that you hear me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let us soar like the eagles. Give us your perspective, your understanding, your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.